You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm German Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Thomas.
I liked it, though.
I almost got a vegan Berliner yesterday in Berlin. It's a type of donut,
is that a
right?
Person or food? All right.
I was not familiar with it.
I'll tell you why you are. You are because of that famous piece of history that had to be reminded to me when I asked our driver, what is the difference? Oh, what is a Berliner?
JFK.
JFK. And he said, well, Americans do know what a Berliner is because of that incident. And I said, right. I totally forgot JFK stood in front of bunch of German people and said, I'm a donut. It's a great, great bit of history. You know,
so you almost got one and you didn't get one? Wow.
I'm not trying to hammer you fellas or my other podcast host, Eric. You guys cannot comprehend how inconvenient life is when you don't know, you don't know what you don't know, right? Like you don't know, is the venue going to have Wi-Fi? Is the hotel going to have Wi-Fi? Am I condemned to a gray trench warfare hell, you know?
Tom, you've never faced a moment of mystery in your life like Patrick.
No, I mean, I didn't pour most of my life without Wi-Fi.
Tom, there was no expectations of you. It used to be you went on tour, and if you didn't talk to your partner for 10 days in a row, you missed each other. But now there is really an expectation that everybody in your life has access to you all the time. So if you don't respond, I'm not talking about my partner now. I'm talking about
business. I know you have a tour manager, right?
Yes.
Now, why can't they make sure when they're booking these hotels that Patty gets his Wi-Fi?
Oh, I'll tell you why. Because all these fucking hotels are liars. Because when they say, yes, Wi-Fi is good, and then you show up and it's 10 megabytes per fucking ping or whatever.
Yo, here's the thing. You got your tour manager, who I believe might also perform in your band. Assign him a task. Be like, hey, earn this keep. Keep track of the hotels we're at. Use the Wi-Fi tracker thing and track the Wi-Fi speed. And we can say good Wi-Fi, bad Wi-Fi, so we don't stay at the bad Wi-Fi places next year.
And then you can sell that information to your fellow touring bands.
Correct.
So on this particular tour, we have a proper tour manager.
Ooh.
For people that don't know, sometimes DIY is just because you're cheap by nature.
Correct.
And in the U.S., Drug Church does not have a tour manager outside of the band, because one member of the band looked at the numbers and said, oh, I prefer to put that money in my pocket. What an absurd idea to give it to another human being. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. It's not a deep commitment to DIY. It's a deep commitment to, you know, whatever.
Right, you all speak English. And
yeah. So, but now over here, we have conducted ourselves in the past without a tour manager. I've been the driver and we've just free-formed it, but it is particularly stressful. it's not. So on this one, we've got driver, tour manager named John, very professional dude from the UK. If you guys want to talk about tour at some point, we can work it into the conversation. It's really interesting to watch Citizen, who thought that they did not have fans here, or they haven't been here in 8 years, and that's because they never really felt like they connected, like people enjoyed it or not. And watching them fill big rooms in the UK was really satisfying. People obviously love them. It's been a cool tour.
Mm. Mm. Love hearing it. Let's shout out and thank our sponsors before we get into it, because we do want to do some tour chatter. Thank you, love and praise to to Live a Lie.
Oh, yeah. Dumbledore.
Thank you, love and praise to Convulse Records, fan of the four-time overall Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Snape, the only other character I know.
Thank you, love and praise, whatever I said before, to Closed Casket Activities.
Oh, wait, I got one. Dobby.
Oh, see, that's good. That's your favorite dude, isn't it?
I love Dobby. Gets me emotional. I've only seen one of those Harry Potter movies, but that Dobby got me.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you, love and praise, to Run for Cover.
Tom, help me out. You've seen these movies? You read these books?
Say Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Harry. You're a hardcore kid, Harry.
Ron Grimsley, whatever the fuck his name is.
Grimbottom Hair Man.
He who shall not be named. Yeah.
Grimbottom Hair Man. That's our new, that's either a grindcore band or the worst sap indie band you've ever heard. today we're going to focus on two labels, two old friends, dear friends, Run for Cover Records and Closed Casket Activities. So the theme here is two different things, but that when I say those names, I know, at least to me, I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of group Run for Cover with this stuff. I group Closed Casket with this stuff. And, you know, without, I'm going to spoil the plot here, but, you know, Closed Casket, hard, heavy. Run for Cover, catchy, poppy, you know, velvety soft. But when you really start digging around in that, I was looking at Closed Casket, closedcasketactivities.com, and was thinking, wow, they really do touch on a lot of things. And last week on Twitter, X, formerly known FKA, Twitter, I posted, hey, what are your favorite record labels? I encourage everybody to go look, because there was a ton that were shouted out. Obviously, our sponsors are some of the many that are in there. But I'm looking at Closed Casket Activities, and I'm going, oh, Fleshwater. That's got a group of people. God's Hate. You know, that's that hit your friend with a pipe music, you know? And like, Fleshwater could be on Run for Cover sonically. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah. Sure.
God's Hate on Run for Cover would be an interesting one. But it's just really cool, the depth and variety of sounds you can catch from Closed Casket. And that, you know, led me to thinking about Run for Cover too, runforcoverrecords.com. Over even just the past few years, seeing the variety of stuff they have, you know, whether it's Narrowhead, whether it's Fiddlehead, whether it's Citizen, whether it's the stuff like Sun June, the Berries, like, I'm super impressed with the diversity of what these labels do. I hope you're given a chance to all the stuff, because you're going to click. Look, I'm going to be honest. If you are looking for God's Hate and click on Fleshwater, you're not going to get it. But you might like it, but you might not. And if you're looking for Fiddlehead and you click on Runner, you might like it or you might not. But you can tell with these labels that they're very cool. They're doing things they care about. And also big shout out, because they're both supporting other labels, both through distribution, production, basically doing back-end stuff. So major shout-outs to everybody out there behind the scenes doing things. Run for Cover and Closed Casket are two of the big ones. Whew. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling? Start with Tom, because he hasn't had to struggle with this Wi-Fi.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what it's like out here. Struggle.
I'm in my apartment. We have good Wi-Fi. Hell yeah. I knew what I was getting into. No trench warfare. I'm on the bench. Pat's in the trench.
That's right.
And yeah, just things good. It's Monday morning.
Hell yeah. Podcast
Monday morning. Post Super Bowl. Good Super Bowl.
Good Super Bowl.
A lot of stuff to talk about the commercials. If you guys ever wanted a podcast to show your mom.
Yeah, this is it.
This is the one. Like, all the listeners and stuff, like, we're gonna talk.
All right, so let's minimize the curse words and and up the, like, family-friendly energy. We can do
exactly.
Patrick, how are you doing holistically? You're trapped in Wi-Fi gulag, but Not today. Bad Wi-Fi wins, but not today, baby.
One of my, I asked a question and one of my bandmates told me to Google and I almost punched him in the face. I'm obviously overtired and very hostile. So, yeah, I just need, I think I need sleep. I think I'm a little, underslept and a little cranky.
Okay. Well,
you're almost done, right?
No, well, almost. We're more than halfway, certainly, I think. We got,
you not know?
No, I don't have a clue.
You don't even know, like, I have this amount of time. Like, you're just, like, doing time. You're doing your business.
I'm just, yeah, exactly. Listen, Tom, there's
like four scratches and the one across. You're not doing the five counts.
There's only 2 days that you do on tour. That's your first and your last.
Got it.
So, today's Hamburg. And then the 17th is the last show in Belgium.
How nice.
Not that long, dude. It's the end of the week.
Yeah, it's fine. And there's no reason that I should be this stressed out. It's I think it's just a weird sleep pattern. You know, every band eventually hates Europe. American bands hate going to Europe. And I never understood because I like it. I think it's a fun experience. It's good to get out of the shit that you see all the time. The people are kind. I got really nothing bad to say about it. But on this particular tour, I went to two hotels in a row where the Wi-Fi just straight up, they wanted you to pay for it and then it didn't work. And did I tell you guys when I had my mental breakdown? I had a mental breakdown.
We like referenced that, but
when you're screaming in the rain?
Yeah. So there's no other way to put this. So everybody, I'm going to keep it concise. Sorry. This is like minutia that like to log
what
into
happens
the Wi-Fi,
when you ask how you doing to Patrick in Europe. Yeah.
To log into this Wi-Fi, you had to create an account that then sent the confirmation email to your email address that you put in. So I can't access my email address cause I can't get Wi-Fi and I'm in a country where my roaming doesn't work. So I go to the woman at the front desk and say, "Excuse me, miss, could you help me?" And she says, "Oh yeah, it's easy. You just go to your email." And I won't attempt to do it. She had a thick Polish accent. I won't attempt to do it. But I say, "Well, therein lies the problem, friend. I can't get to my email because I can't get on Wi-Fi." And she says, "I can give you the phone number of the company that handles our internet." And I said, "And call them with what?" And then I went in the parking lot and screamed like I was having a full on fucking Bruce Banner. Like
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. No, because wasn't that a scream of joy?
Yeah.
I was having a scream of frustration.
Dude was walking out. He was getting out of the shit tunnel. Patrick was entering.
That's right. And I don't know how you guys, we've talked about this. You guys find it ridiculous that I haven't cried in 25 years, but the closest that I get to crying is not out of sadness. It's not out of sadness. It's out of frustration. It's when I feel powerless, you know, when I feel like I have no recourse here.
Yeah, you got to get more powerful. That's the problem.
I got to get more. I got to lift. I got to have Wi-Fi inserted in the base of my neck.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway,
become that day I had to go. Let's go.
I had to go to a casino just to message you guys. But I'm.
Did you put what, 50 on red?
Yeah.
Listen. And now at this exact moment, I don't have the, like, I shouldn't be gambling, right? Normally, a certain amount of money I feel is fine to just throw into the hole in the ground, but I shouldn't do that now.
Right.
And it's been there's somebody right now whose dad's got some type of cancer, and they're like, "Yo, what is Patrick the fuck going on about?" But let me just say, I was annoyed. I was just annoyed. It was an annoying week. That's all.
Well, we're glad you're here with us. Thank you to both. The behind the curtains is, we are recording on a Monday morning. Typically, we do evenings, sometimes Sunday nights, sometimes Monday nights. We switch it up, just keep it spicy. But I got. I know. He didn't have good Wi-Fi. I got a 5 month old, a 2.5 year old, and the 10 year old. He's fine. He just roams around. That I have to take care of solo for all day yesterday and the next 3 days. So, shout out.
But at least you have Wi-Fi, Bob.
I got fantastic. The Wi-Fi, honestly, that would have been it. That would have been the straw. That's
over. That's X amount of years old and getting to tour Europe for money.
I know. Life's tough when you're 32.
I'll give you 3 weeks off of work and you can go play music for 3 weeks across Europe. Sign me the fuck up.
So shout out. I was thinking of the single parents who do this day in, day out. Y'all are real heroes. That stuff's amazing. Tom, tell me about your commercial takes from the Super Bowl. I want to hear about it. Patrick, we will, based on what Tom says, we will assign a band or hardcore subgenre to the commercial. Let's go.
The Volkswagen one was weird.
Mm, yeah.
Because they were like, you know, German standards, you know, starting in 1949. We're like, was it really, though?
A little bit earlier, just a touch.
Definitely helped build tanks for fucking Hitler, you fucks.
Let's see that. What is that giving, Patrick? What is that giving?
That gives me like fake history. Like the band that no one cared about in 1996 is now headlining festivals in 2024.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right. There we go. Yeah. That's giving, rewritten history energy. Okay, good. Next one. Yeah.
I'm trying to think which else, the other ones that were funny. There was a Pfizer commercial.
Pfizer commercial. Oh my God, Patrick, this one was right up your alley. The Pfizer commercial where it Charles Pfizer, it essentially had every brilliant mind going back to like Socrates and like and including Mr. Pfizer with that.
Right, singing to Queen.
Yeah. Don't stop me now.
And it ends with like, believe in science.
Yeah, Pfizer. Science wins. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, yo, like, was this straight trolling people who don't like vaccinations? Like, were you trying to push people further away from your products?
The worst one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bob. I cut you
off. No. Please go.
This is for Pat from fucking Bard.
Senor
Jesus Bard. Gets us. And it was a full minute of people that you know don't get along in real life. And one, like, for example, there's a young African American kid who's having his feet washed by a cop. There's like an obvious, you know, a potential like homosexual man getting his feet washed by a priest. Like all people that are like on the, you know, opposite ends of sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
But and it literally the commercial ends with he washed feet. Like that's in like this big font. He washed feet.
Just like you. He just like us. He washed feet. You ever wash? I mean, yeah, Patrick, you have. You are a little Jesus-y, aren't you?
It's been said. Yeah.
Feet. Yeah. Also,
but they had two commercials.
Hitler energy. So I don't know. So you're halfway between Pfizer and Volkswagen out here. So
you know,
maybe Jesus.
Yeah. But he gets us. But yeah, they had two different ones.
Yes.
So I forget. I think
there was another religion. Scientology had a good commercial this year.
Yeah, like just stop on in. Like, okay. And never leave again. Ask Leah Remini.
Nerds, the candy, had a commercial. Have you ever seen a Nerds candy commercial ever before in your life?
No, because when we were kids, we just bought them. We didn't need to be sold on it.
And why would... Yeah, like, I don't know. It was very...
And they anthropomorphized, like, the...
Yeah.
The nerd. It was weird.
It was the nerd doing a flash dance, the shower scene.
Yeah, like, undulating. It was kind of weird. Yeah, and then, like, some, like social media, like, expert, like, ate it. I don't know. Christopher Walken was funny.
Yeah. I like that one. The Dunkin' Donuts.
One of the best.
Yeah, that one had Tom Brady, Ben Affleck, and
Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon. That was pretty good. Pat, of those three, who do you most associate yourself with? Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, or Tom Brady?
Not Tom Brady.
J-Lo.
She's not awesome. Tom Brady. Some say I'm the GOAT, but I don't. He's got zero swag. Ben Affleck always seems unhappy. I'm not an unhappy guy. Matt Damon gets himself in trouble saying shit. That's pretty relatable. Probably Matt Damon.
Okay. Matt Damon. All right. There we go. Tom, how about you? Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, or Tom Brady?
I'll probably go Ben Affleck. I'm definitely standing outside with a cup of Dunkin' Donuts being like, fuck.
Yeah. Closing J-Lo's door. Like,
yeah. Outside of work, outside of a band practice, I'm always like, motherfucker. Like, yeah.
Yo, you know what? The face of frustration. The Ben Affleck really nails it. You know what I mean?
And he does. Like, I mean, he's had a pretty decent life, man. Like, yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
It's like, yeah, all right, Jersey Girl and Geely aside, but like, yo, you were in the town, bro.
He's been in some good stuff. I think I'll take Matt Damon's career. This is a good one. Affleck or Damon's career? I think Damon.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, he was also in that movie where he was a conjoined twin. it was like a Farrelly Brothers movie. But I mean, Ocean's I feel like 11. I like. Ocean's 11 is pretty great. That's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's great. It's fantastic. What a good.
I did watch him in Rounders because I went to see our friend.
Oh yeah,
Chris Ryan do Rounders.
Chris Ryan, yeah, Chris Ryan. I saw him do Creed in Philly, and R.I.P. to Carl Weathers. Like the next day,
Mr. yeah, and they had him. They talked about him in the commercial.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Carl Weathers.
They made fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger not being able to say neighbor. That was on like three times.
Oh yeah.
I mean, listen, Arnold Schwarzenegger did hang on to that accent for longer than
you've been here 40 years, bro.
Truly, it's pretty crazy. And I mean, I say this as a guy who has no aptitude for languages, can barely speak my native language. And
you're gonna sound Cahoean for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe I can't say shit about Schwarzenegger. Maybe I'm in the same boat.
The other one that was cool. That it just shows you like how fucking enormous she is. Sorry, Mom, I'm cursing. The Beyonce thing.
Mm.
So they did this whole thing of like her breaking the internet.
Yeah.
And it was like all these different things. She was like, I'm doing this. Did I break the internet? And the guy from Veep is like her like assistant, or whatever, and they're going and going and going. And then she's like in a space shuttle or something. And she's like, time to drop new music. Everyone on the internet literally freaked out that she was like checking every like music, you know, like Spotify or Apple, whatever, to find out, like, because they thought she was going to like immediately release a new record as soon as that commercial happened. It was actually kind of impressive. They show Taylor Swift a lot, but you know what? I like Taylor Swift and I don't mind.
And cumulatively, it was probably less than 30 seconds. So,
yeah. I mean, she was there with Blake Lively and Ice Spice and Lana Del Rey.
Oh, okay. I didn't see Lana Del Rey. Okay. Yeah.
And
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Nobody have any normal friends, right?
Like, come on. You don't have, like, Taylor Swift don't have somebody from Pennsylvania she could just bring with her?
Yo, that's what honestly, I'm saying. Yo, here's the thing. Yes, people do have normal friends. I don't think Taylor Swift does because she was, like, a groomed theater singer kid who the stories go back that, like, her mom used to reach out to other, like, young artists and be like, hey, can you be friends with my daughter? She doesn't really have any friends because she's just been doing this, you know. You know, I guess you gotta live a tortured life to actually have real friends.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I would probably, if I had the money, I think that I would just, even just for the comedy, I'd fly out some of the boys. You know what I mean? Like, even just for the fact that they're not supposed to be there, I'd fly out some of the boys.
In a $1 million suite, like, you know, and like,
it's true.
Some guy just like has like a pile of fucking, you know, Coors Lights in front of him or something. Like, just have
It's like, oh, what are you guys up to tomorrow? Well, I got to get back, Union Plumber, you know?
Right. She's like, I got to get back on my plane to go back to Tokyo because I'm playing the Tokyo Bowl or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And then
Sheila's like, oh yeah, well, my shift, I got a half day off tomorrow. I got to get back to my shift at the phone center, but you know, it was
barbershop closed on Monday, so we're okay. And then Travis Kelce almost brought the whole fucking PSYOP down by almost knocking Andy Reid over.
Oh, that was wild. Yeah.
Yelling and screaming at him and like pushed him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was interesting.
I mean, if that's not like fucking like, yo, man, if that was anybody but a Travis Kelce, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're thinking
it'd be like been, that would be the talk of the every morning show on ESPN.
Yeah. Let's get to some hardcore because I think I think I hate football. I'm not sure, but I think I do.
Pat Mahomes sounds like Kenny Powers. That's it. Thank you. Good night.
So, all right, guys, let's talk a little hardcore. How have the shows been in Europe, Patrick?
How's Ireland, Pat?
Yeah.
More importantly, the solo shows.
Actually, here this might put us into a topic, although I think it's one that we've perhaps touched upon before. Ireland was great. And as I told you fellas, I'd been looking to visit Belfast for many years. So to be able to play it was great.
First show?
Really fun show.
Was your first show there?
First show we'd ever done there.
Any band?
Any band.
Wow.
Well, as they were explaining to me, at least post-COVID, they're having a really tricky time getting I don't know who considers my band a medium-sized band. I think we're a small band, but for the sake of this conversation, let's say we're on the smallest end of medium. And they're having a tricky time getting bands of my size or, short of big room. Like, let's say 300 to 1,500. They're just having a hard time getting those bands to stop over. And for anybody in the sound of my voice, I just want to say it was completely worth it. It was a beautiful show. Really kind.
Difficult,
people.
Like the country, like changing, like going from the Republic to.
Not at all. I expected it to be a hassle. I guess the real headache is if you are coming from England, coming from the United Kingdom, and want to take your vehicle into Northern Ireland via the ferry or whatever. I guess that is an expensive hassle. Mm. But I will say that if you are in a position to fly, to make it your last trip, to make Ireland your either your first point of contact, and then you meet your contact in England for your driver there and conduct the tour as normal, or if you were to leave from Heathrow, stop over in Dublin, Belfast, etc. You'd probably want to go Heathrow to Belfast, then take a train to Dublin for 2 hours, and then leave from Dublin. Completely worth it. And like the promoter was uber professional. He's a PhD in post-colonial studies. So we had a ton of conversation. I mean, his thesis and whatever is, I'm sorry, everybody, it's been a long time since I've been to college, is about sort of the sectarian violence of Belfast. And I basically had the most informed tour guide you could ever have. I went to the Peace Walls, did the whole thing. It was
and this is in Belfast?
Belfast. Super, super interesting for someone that, you know, as I said to the crowd that night, our only understanding of Belfast in the United States is photos from the 1970s. So
Right.
It's kind of frozen in time in our mind. And a really interesting thing was talking to the people there. A number of them did not consider themselves Irish and did not consider themselves British. They considered themselves Northern Irish.
Wow. Okay.
Which is, as they were explaining, and you know, I'm sure that the promoter who has that PhD would have a lot to say about it. But this was just talking to, you know, kind of regular education or undereducated guys. They were like, it's just different. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I go to England and it's, that's not me. And I go to Dublin and that's not me either.
Right. It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a different identity. Right. I wanted to talk really briefly about a phenomenon where, you see online, hardcore kids saying, if you're not saying, shit at, if you're not saying shit at about Palestine, then you're not doing your job. You're not using your platform. I just wanted to add some context perspective to that. Two of my bandmates had no frame of context for the troubles in Ireland. Zero. Hmm. Did not had to ask, what is this about? These are average intelligence people that just happened to be 30 years old. And we have to stop assuming that everybody has something intelligent to say about everything. If you asked these two band members, who, by the way, asked the relevant questions when confronted with the thing in front of them, and said, "Oh, could somebody explain this to me?" That's what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? That's good. That's cool.
I should try to learn. Yeah.
But if you think it is not just incumbent, but obligatory for that individual to lend their opinion to every world matter, it's so fucking disingenuous to me that, hey, if you're not saying X, you're not doing your job. Motherfucker, people don't know what X, Y, or Z even is. You know what I mean? People have their own lives, which are isolated to the things that, like, what? Let me just give some perspective. What if somebody has a real struggle of a life? What if somebody is hand to mouth and their reality is their 20 blocks and it is, we could almost say that's not their fault because of whatever sort of bullshit they've had piled on them in life. Now, you need that person to what? Go to a public library? You need that person to what? Spend their time, what are they going to call out of work so they can fucking learn more about some world topic? Yo, it is wrong to ask everybody to have an opinion on everything. Some people are simply underinformed on a matter, and that's where it stands with them. Now, is it great to be underinformed on a matter? No, it's not. But is it the reality that we are all underinformed on something? Yes. And I thought it was just, I'm not clowning on my bandmates. Cause like I said, we were at a peace wall and they were like, could somebody explain this to me? And it's like, yo, that's great.
Fascinating to me because I feel like that's so known.
No, Tom,
apparently it's not.
It's generational. And it's also it's a ton of East Coast bias.
Yes.
My first concert was also going to a Rebel IRA band concert.
That's what I'm saying.
Really, yeah.
It is a Northeast American phenomenon, maybe down into, you know, Pensatucky, whatever, but like it is, and there's a lot of reasons for it. That was actually the most interesting part of speaking with the promoter who had all this knowledge. I said, hey, could you give me some perspective? We know the Republican perspective in the United States quite well. Right. Or at least in the Northeast of the United States. But I have to assume, loyalists have their own, set of martyrs, their own set of martyrs, their own iconography, their own folk tales. Like all of the things that go into like the average American's conception of the Republican struggle. There has to be that on the other side that I have no understanding of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know who they consider the victims of the thing. I don't know who. And he explained, well, there's a very good reason for that. And it's the diaspora, right? Like it's who ended up in the United States, right?
Well, who ended up in the United States and where? Yes.
Right. And to tell that story. And that's all true and obviously interesting, but I found it completely the place I found interesting. We stayed in apparently a Republican neighborhood that has some sectarian issues still, I guess. Listen, everybody, I'm going to be talking a little bit out of my ass now, but are you guys interested in this topic or?
Yeah, go.
Okay. So this is just from talking to a half dozen people, everybody. I do not claim to live in Belfast. Although if I could convince my family, I would at least consider it because I really enjoyed it. But
over Dublin?
So I had been to Dublin before, so twice. So it holds a little less fascination for me. Sure. Belfast, I will say, in the same way that there's a thing I love about Los Angeles, as shitty as it is, if you go downtown and look down the boulevards, you see a mountain, right? Mm. They're not big mountains, but they're just pleasant a juxtaposition from concrete. And in certain neighborhoods in Belfast, you look down the boulevard and you see just a large green hill, you know? and I thought that that was quite beautiful. Now, is it true that it's a bit of a post-industrial shithole? Yes, a little bit, but it was not nearly as bad as what I had been sold by people online. I thought it was completely nice place, but we stayed in a neighborhood that, as I said, I guess still has some, I guess, whatever, lingering tensions or whatever. And I didn't see any of that. Now, obviously it doesn't happen every day and obviously whatever, but I was asking the promoter about that. And he was saying, you know, there's actually a day there, it's like June 12th, maybe July 12th, whatever it is, where everybody comes out with their banners and it's kind of, there's some street violence, and it's kind of a, you know, almost gangland wave your flag sort of day. And, which to an American speaks to, like, it's just a crazy idea of like, like we've entered like the ludicrous zone of that type of conflict where there's a day, you know,
but like the purge,
right? It, like what a wild idea. But I said, but some of the other kids were joking. Oh, because we're going to try to come back in the summer. And some kid joked, oh, you should come back on this day. And the other guy interrupted him and said, no, we're not going to do that to him. And then I said, what's the American impression? And he goes, Americans just seem to like it. They think it's like a novelty. You know what I mean?
And you're on the outside, so it doesn't bother you. Like,
yes. And if somebody comes to you and says, you know, who you with or whatever, you can just say, hey, brother, I'm, you know,
from New York.
I'm coming from Sacramento.
Yeah, no, like, all right, move along.
Right. And so he said there's Americans think it's just a cute novelty in so many ways. But when I was talking to some of the kids in the opening bands, which were good, I said, so how – someone your age, someone that's 26 years old, how do you see – your city and kind of your history and your world, if you don't mind, do you hang on to any of this sort of sectarian hostilities and whatever? And he said, it's entirely reliant on who your parents are. He says, if your parents aren't walking around with that, then typically it has been washed out of us by a certain age. And if your parents are living and breathing it, then it is, it still comes up and it's still something that you can get your fur up about or even punch about. Now, what I thought was very interesting, and everybody, I do not need these problems neither in Dublin nor in Belfast. So just understand I'm repeating what I heard from a couple people at the thing. And it is consistent with every other circumstance around the world that has this history, which is it is very difficult to turn a paramilitary into a member of the Best Buy Geek Squad. It is very difficult to go from, hey, your responsibilities in this life are to maintain a banner and to not allow yourself to be disrespected and to be ready to jump into armed conflict at any time, and then say, oh, but now that's over. It's time for you to wash dishes, right? So as is the case in so many other parts of the world, a lot of those people go on to be drug dealers. And that's what was being explained to me by a number of kids there was the paramilitary still care about the things that they're supposed to care about. But that conflict is you know, at a simmer. It's not boiling over. So what do you do? You know what I mean? What do you do when you've been a criminal for your adult life and now the thing that inspired you or motivated you, animated you is no longer the thing? And I thought that was, I mean, again, that's consistent with every place else. But I thought that was totally fascinating.
Can I shout out the openers?
Please. Yeah, please.
I just looked it up really quick. In Dublin, it was Fulvetta and Meryl Streak.
Yes, Meryl Streak. That's right.
Very good. And then in Belfast, it was Bellwood and the New Normal.
Yes, yes.
So shout out to those four.
Shout out. Everybody was a good variety of music night to night, and everybody was very cool. I had a great time. Again, everybody, I'm a complete...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Tourist, so if you're listening, one of our Belfast listeners, feel free to write us with any corrections. I'm just going on what people told me. But for me, a guy that feels as though I've seen every bit of Europe.
And I've rocked them all.
I was completely taken by Belfast and found it fascinating. Would love to go back.
I wonder why that's like so. Because I mean, I don't remember a ton of bands going through Belfast. I don't remember a ton of bands going through any of Ireland, really. But no, like, or like they play Dublin. They put, you know, like Sick of It All would play Dublin,
right?
But everyone else kind of stayed. Like someone was like, oh, because I made a mistake. It's Glaswegian and not Glaswegian.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I was corrected by someone from Glasgow. And they're like, oh, you should come to, you know, I was like, oddly enough, I was like, I've never played in Scotland or Ireland, but I've played in Wales like three times.
No shit.
Yeah, like we played with a band in Wales that is like
no longer spoken about.
No, not at all. Band called Lost Prophets.
Yeah.
Yeah, they spelled it differently. They were the opener.
Mm.
But yeah, but like I've never been to Scotland. I've never been like I've been there like for family stuff, but not on tour. And I was like, I wonder why. Like, is it that much? I mean, you can just get on a ferry and go to like from like Calais, France to somewhere, can't you? Like, I feel like there's ways to do it that can't be that expensive.
Well, you go from Calais to Dover. But certainly you could. To my knowledge, there is a ferry. That's the prohibitive part, I guess, is the car element. But everybody, I'm telling you, get in touch with the promoter, Stephen, who just did a fucking fantastic job. Super pro. That type of promoter that like it does hardcore shows, but treats you as though you are a very professional band. You know, like
he had Wi-Fi. He had breakfast with potatoes. The drinks, the tea that Pat likes.
Yerba Mates,
Yerba Mates in glass and aluminum.
That good flavor. Yo, do you guys know that we should be not using glass anymore? Obviously, plastic's bad. But glass.
Stop. I like glass. Stop.
Why is glass bad? I feel like that's the best.
Glass waste is hard to dispose of, and it used to be that we would sell it / ship it to China, and now they have enough and don't want ours. So the usable, recyclable, reusable, and hopefully we do have lots of smart listeners. But I fell down a rabbit hole in this. Use cans. Cans is the only way.
Listen,
aluminum is the way to go.
They taste good.
I get
my understanding of how to dispose of glass is you throw it in the campfire, okay, or you break it against the dugout. You know,
adult's head in a bar fight.
The problem is too much. It's too much too fast all the time. That's the problem. It's the problem. Guys, have a couple things to talk about hardcore wise. Would you like to discuss?
Yeah,
sure. I had one more question about Patty.
Please.
Sorry. So you played Berlin SO36.
Yes.
Did you record it?
Did not record it, but if somebody recorded it, listen, if somebody recorded it on their phone, it was definitely a better recording than the Slapshot live at SO36. I went and listened to it again for the first time in a long time, and I was like, holy shit.
Romance.
This came out.
Like, oh, man.
Like, was that a lost and found? Would you look that up? Who put that out?
Oh, no, I'll look it up.
Thank
also,
you.
Also, is SO36 where they throw the paper at you?
There was no paper thrown at me.
There's a place in Germany, and I can't remember where it was, but they throw shredded like confetti at you at the band.
Oh, wow.
God damn it, I can't remember. Yeah.
I'll say this. I was told before I didn't realize we hadn't been to Berlin in 4 years. That's absolutely crazy to me. I feel like I go to Berlin all the time.
2019? That's weird.
Yeah,
what's happened?
Slapshot live at SO36.
Who put it out?
We Bite.
Oh, it is not a great sounding record. So anyway, we had not been back in a while, and we were told, hey, German crowds are pretty demure at the moment. Kids are coming to shows, but it's a bit stiff. You're really going to have to put some work in if you want them to move. And I took it as a challenge. We did motivate them to move, but it is a polite
fire shooter from the Rammstein camp.
Yeah, that's what we had to do. Yeah. But it's a polite people out here. And I just want anybody who is in our foreign listenership, when you come to a drug church show, please be polite only in the respect that you are respectful to your fellow showgoer. Do not feel like you can't immediately start stage diving. It, don't wait for the third block of songs to start stage diving. Thank you.
Mm. Are they still smoking indoors over there?
Okay. So this conversation came up yesterday. I was like, oh, they're not still smoking indoors, are they? And somebody was like, did you not catch the monitor guy? So you're not allowed to smoke indoors unless you are a member of the club or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, unless you work there.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I guess it's fair because they're on the job. Where are we supposed to go?
I guess so.
That's pretty funny though. Like, imagine that, being in New York, like the one bartender and like the bar back, and like is like just fucking smoking like a motherfucker, and everyone else is just sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. But I did not detect the. I'm sure it's different in the squats, you know. But at least this club show, there was no smoking except for one guy affiliated with the venue.
Crowds looked insane though. All the UK videos looked incredible for both bands.
Yeah, I mean, it's been it's really, really fun fucking tour. Like Citizen, everybody, I'll do one of those Patreons that I do where I ask somebody to talk about records. I'll do that with Matt from Citizen. He's a very funny guy, very you know, he likes a bunch of different types of music, but they are just like a band that hangs on to their fans, which is so nice to see. Because a thing that we should probably talk about, it doesn't have to be today, Bob, I know you had specifics, but
a
thing we should probably talk about at some point is what it takes to lose all of your fucking fans.
Man, you really got to fumble everything.
Sort of, because okay. So here's the, tell me how this resonates with you guys. There are bands where you can get you won people over in such a way that you can put out infinite stinkers after a certain moment, infinite stinkers, and people will still come to see you play your first three records, and nothing's changing. They don't necessarily buy your new records, but they're not losing you on the live thing. And at some point, you start putting out live records, putting out records just to go and play one new song from that and then play your old material. But okay, so there's those bands. And then there's the bands that have a lot of energy around them. People want to like them. People think they like them. And then they do not have enough of a body of work to release the stinker. And that stinker is just a fucking anchor around their neck, and it's over. And I don't know what kind of ineffable qualities make one and one the other. I don't know what it is, but it's fascinating to watch in real time. No names, but it's fascinating to watch.
Likeability plays a lot into that calculus.
What do you think does?
Likeability.
Okay. So
if you're rooting for the band, you'd be like, come on, y'all can do better than that.
Oh, okay.
At some point you just turn on bands and you're like, come on.
Well, I agree with this. I agree with what Tom said. And I think that I'm going to invoke a person who's been mentioned. LeBron James, well, Tom Brady, like greatest player in NFL history, or at least in a very small conversation about that, right?
Sure.
Lost two Super Bowls, two stinkers. LeBron James, same deal. He's lost like five.
Go NBA championship.
You know what I mean? That dude's lost a bunch of games. Eli Manning. Yeah, he's nice. Tom Brady, the GOAT. Psych. Eli beat him twice. So here's the cool thing. If you achieve a certain level of greatness, people will forgive and straight forget. And like, lost a couple of Super Bowls. Lost a grip of NBA championships. Couple stinkers. And in hardcore, in music, in art, that's the greatness is more subjective than numbers and stats and wins and losses, right? So that's I agree. I think people forgive and forget it. If you got enough to look, man, to me, Cro-Mag's catalog, 1.5 good records, add in a good demo, some good live sets. The rest of the catalog does nothing for like nothing. I try. Does nothing. I forget it. I don't care. You throw me a Cro-Mag shirt right now, I'll put it on.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So that, but there's bands who do you, is your best good enough to make people overlook your worst? And that's actually an interesting thing to ask about a lot of things in life, right?
Well, okay. There's a band that was suggested to us as like for support for the Drug Church tour in October. And it's a band I really like or liked. And I had to say, no, I can't do it in good faith because their records fucking suck. Right? Like it's, and this is a band that I like. If you ask me, do you like this band? I'd say, yeah, I like that band. But they put out such a stinker of a fucking record that there's been no forward, there's been no upward mobility or momentum there. Now, here's what I think is interesting to talk about. They were still suggested to me. They were still taken seriously enough as, hey, they're frozen right now. It doesn't mean they're dead. They're just in a cryogenic sleep because they put out a fucking terrible record. But they could live again. So because everybody wants them to win, likes them as people, we're going to float through this bad moment and hopefully hit something hot coming out of it. And that is so interesting because that is a different conversation than, yeah, that band is cashed. You know what I mean? Yeah, that band is, that's done, that's ass. Which is what you'll hear that from booking agents and promoters, everybody. So that's not how we like to talk about bands because like I've been in one for too long to really feel comfortable with that type of shit. But like that's the language that booking agents and promoters will use. Like, hey, that's cashed. That's over. And it's so interesting to hear, listen, everybody knows that their last record sucked, but they're not done yet. Such a different vibe. And I trying to figure out what is that difference. Very, really hard to put your finger on.
Yeah, no, it feels odd, you know, but I think in private conversations, not platforming it, not putting it on, like that's, is their best good enough that it enables, and can you, and I think there's different elements of that. Like, yo, there are bands that I like almost strictly. It's like a platonic relationship. It's like, yo, I love that band live, but like, don't put those records on me. Like, nah, we're good. Like, I'm not trying to marry that band, but live, I'll jump off a stage for it, you know? And there's value there. You know what I mean? That's kind of why I think there's bands. There's so many facets to it. Like, man, there's bands I don't like, but I love their merch. I think their merch rips. I don't own the merch, but I'm like, man, that's good merch. Which sure. I like the band. So, you know, enjoy shit the way you like. This, is it okay if I pivot? Because there's something that came up and I
100%, let's go.
Are we about to see a wave of brands, ex bands, collaborations the likes of which we have never seen before.
Yeah,
so, so I frame it like that because, you know, it's, this is not the first time that bands have been partnering up with brands and clothing lines and, you know, sponsorships and blah, 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 all that shit. Are we about to hit it bigger than ever before? And there's two things that got cited. Shout out to Adam who hit us with one of them. Obviously, everybody's seen the, well, obviously, Turnstile is doing a very big collaboration with Converse, has their own shoes, which is kind of wild. But then even, I saw this, the brand Pleasures just did a collaboration shirt with MS Paint, which surprised me. I'm aware of the brand Pleasures, and I didn't know there was any kind of hardcore relation, but there is. And it brought to mind, are we about to see a lot more of this? And is that good or bad?
The answer is yeah. I know of one that's percolating. That is more on the not mysterious guy, but like more on the hardcore for the hardcore sort of level of things. And I think, yeah, we're going to see some of this. And I think some of the old heads are going to have moments of screaming. And I can't say shit because I get outvoted in my band's life whenever something like this comes up. So I'm sure that my band will do some shit like that. And I mean, our name, maybe our sound, I don't know, limit us from some of those things. But yeah, we're going to see it for sure.
Tom, and,
I mean, the band Orthodox got a JNCO sponsorship, so.
Whoa. No shit.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of, I mean, if you're going to go for it,
go for it.
Well, that's the, I mean, I think that's, but I mean, JNCOs back in the day were looking to sponsor bands too.
That's true. Patrick.
I never owned a pair of JNCOs.
Me neither.
No, me neither.
It was very big in the scene I was involved in though. Good Lord. And, but yeah, they were looking to like sponsor. Cause it was, I mean, who else was buying ravers and hardcore kids?
Yep.
I mean, that was literally it. Maybe skaters, but I don't even think so. But yeah, Orthodox, like beginning of this year, got like a sponsorship. But I was like, that's fucking cool. But yeah, I mean, I think it's bound to happen. This music is fucking huge. You know, and I mean, I think if it's done right and if it's something that's, you know, lays within your moral code, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be bummed if it was like a straight edge band, like doing like fucking, you know, PBR or whatever.
You know, yeah. I am, you know,
like One Step Closer wants to do a fucking a collab with like some clothing company. I'm like, well, they're a sharp band. So that makes sense. They've done stuff on their own that have had polo shirts and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm the lamest dude in the world on this shit because I always say the same type of stuff, which is, yeah, I'm not mad at anybody that's mad. You know, it doesn't make for good conversation, but it's what my heart says. Like if somebody finds this shit repellent, I'm not mad. If somebody's all in on it, I'm also not mad. Although I think being all in on it is a little fucking wild, but,
well, could you imagine just being that hyped up on like, yeah, these brands, this is cool.
I mean, there's people out there that I see a lot of different types of opinions, and there's people out there who do think that everything a band can get, they should get.
That's true.
And you know,
let me ask you a question, Patty.
Hit me.
And you may not be able to answer this in full transparency.
Okay.
But even in the 2024 conversation, do you think people see you guys in Fiddlehead different from Military Gun because of the Taco Bell thing?
That's kind of a good question.
Same style music, same idea.
Yeah,
but I feel like, I wonder if, I think it, even in 2024, when we're not like, you know, everyone was like, you know, big business got to stay out of here, I think it damages the brand a little bit.
I don't know. They look
askew at them a little bit. I don't care. Get their fucking money. They're all adults, whatever they want to do. But like, I feel like, You lose a little bit of the like the street cred. Is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy. But I think that what we have to come to is, okay, is the criticism Taco Bell hardcore? Do those kids that say that care at all about the actual matter of things like taking opportunities like Taco Bell, or is it just like a ad hominem sort of easy way to say this type of hardcore that I don't like?
Shorthand.
I mean, it's easy to be very like once you get in one of those groups, yeah, you're easily dismissed. Old man band, yep. Taco Bell hardcore, PBR core. You know, even the bands that were like, there were like four hardcore bands that Vice talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was easy for like normal hardcore to be like, all right, so we're not fucking with this band, because, you know, they're on the same page as Arcade Fire and some magazine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or whatever. Now, like, I feel like once you're able to be like just like thrown together haphazardly like that, you're really easy to dismiss.
I agree, but it doesn't mean you're over. It just means that your moment has passed. You know what I mean? Like,
and I'm not wishing this on anybody. I mean, be clear.
No, certainly not, particularly me. But I'm just saying that if we're going to be honest about this, if we're going to have a conversation about, I don't
wish your band would break up though, so you could get Wi-Fi every day.
I have reflected on the fact that one of the chief reasons that I would ever stop playing music is just to punish the world for not giving me the things that I need when I need them.
Like, no Wi-Fi, then no Patty.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when I was a kid, I used to have to walk home from wrestling practice. I could never get picked up, and it would be fucking so cold. So, you know, Albany, New York in February. Bad times. Cold. Piles of snow. And I would think, you know what? I'm going to lay in this fucking snow and die. And then my mom's going to feel like an asshole.
Right. And she's just going out the station wagon and pick my ass up.
That's how I feel about this whole shit where I go, you know what? You can't give me Wi-Fi. Guess what? No more music.
Need some toilet and some Wi-Fi. Then you don't get Patty anymore.
Exactly. So where were we? I'm sorry.
It's
in terms of brands, or in terms of, is it dismissible? Is it, is there a different way that people look at things? I don't think so. And here's my rationale. I don't think that the people that say Taco Bell hardcore care about the Taco Bell thing on any level. I think it's just, we don't like the sound, or we're over the sound, or whatever it is.
It's army. It's internet.
Yeah, exactly. And do I think that we are in a different position? Maybe only in the respect that we're grandfathered in, but certainly we have, it's not like the sounds are worlds apart, you know?
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know though. I mean, listen, part of being in a band that performs for people and tours and everything is the realization, the understanding that a time is going to come where people are just fucking over your ass. They don't like, you're going to have your fans, and that's cool. But people are going to say, either because you're old or because it's just not the moment anymore. And you gotta live on planet Earth with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's so embarrassing when bands can't confront that. Hey, you know, man, it's not over, but it's just over in the way that it was. It's fine. So I don't know. I think that I was telling you guys a couple months in advance of people using the term Taco Bell hardcore that we're probably headed in a different direction as music, you know, not like the hardcore music, et cetera, is probably going to be headed. And I think that's probably just true, but it doesn't mean that, like, give me something that qualifies as girlfriend hardcore back in the day that could still go right now.
Gorilla Biscuits.
Well, you go really far back. I'm talking about like the Bridge Nine era. Okay. But Modern Life is War has kind of fallen into a plays for their fans. You know what I mean? That's it.
They still kill.
Yeah. I mean, for their fans, they're a good band, but I would say the answer is fucking Havehart, who were dismissed as girlfriend hardcore. And when they play, 9,000 human beings show up. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean that you are ever out of anything. It doesn't mean that you're, it just means you're out of the zeitgeist. It doesn't mean you're out of being like a good band or cool to the people that love you. So But yeah, it's possible. It's possible that I'm Taco Bell hardcore. It's possible that I'm not Taco Bell hardcore. Whatever.
But it's funny how you don't get painted with that brush where like you're incredibly close to that scene. That's the only just really delineating line is that you didn't, you know what I mean? You're not being played in between, you know.
I was going to say, you mean I didn't take the Taco Bell money? And then I was going to correct myself and say, you mean I wasn't offered the Taco Bell money?
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, I saw that under the table Taco Bell deal you guys did.
Yeah, that's true. You witnessed that firsthand.
I witnessed that. And the purveyor of said, yeah, brought that up. He's like, I heard you bring it up and then stop halfway. I was like, yeah, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I mean, the IRS probably listens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. It's really fascinating to reflect on even our podcast, right? It's really interesting to reflect on how people who don't know you personally view you, you know, and there's you know, it's somebody always loves you, somebody always hates you. It's just the nature of the thing. And to stay successful or at least ahead of drowning, you just have to have more people that like you than hate you.
Yeah.
That's it. So
that's today's math formula, I think. Good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yo, everybody, have a good Hardcore Tuesday. It's going to be a Hardcore Tuesday.
It's going to be a big Hardcore Tuesday.
Hardcore Tuesday. Bye-bye.